This is CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The NAWC. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection. Bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Nature Boy. Woo! Woo! I'm a king of the mountain.
This is my town. This is my... Who in the hell...
He's cutting off the Nature Boy. He can't cut. This is my town. Who the hell does he think he is? Woo, 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 woo. That's it. That's it. Woo, woo. Oh. Woo, woo. Okay. All right. Woo. Who the hell? This is my town.
Ric Flair.
I'm the Nature Boy. Ric Flair. Woo, 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 woo. Who the hell do you think you are? Cut me off. In my town. In my town. I got my dress shoes off. I got my socks. I got socks. And you're cutting me off. Just ask Tully. Just ask R. Just ask Gordy.
But we all need a laugh on this, a very distressing, distracting, and saddening week in the wrestling world. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the North American Wrestling Connection. Adjust your microphones if necessary. This is Nikki Heyman. You'll have to pardon my voice. I'm a little under the weather. This is indeed not tears shed for the losses we've had this week. I just can't freaking breathe. Anyway, let's see. I've got a high-energy panel here this week. I'll start from the man who takes the bite out of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
You know, I had a great week working in an independent show in... great Sunday working in an independent show in Delaware, and then this whole week just sort of discombobulated me as a wrestling fan. I mean, just amazing, amazingly both crazy news. Just wow.
And speaking of discombobulated, we have our man who discombobulates the soundboard every week, Mr. Jim Williams.
Should I take that as a compliment or an insult? But seriously, folks, I second what Jason said. It has been a roller coaster week in the world of professional wrestling or sports entertainment, be it what it be. And it's been mostly a down week. A lot of sad news coming out, all in the course of about 24 to 36 hours from each other. It's weird, and let's get to it.
And our third, hailing from, I believe, Thibodaux, Louisiana, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, Mr. Carl Schneer.
Yeah, I got to concur with both Jason and Jim's statements. Definitely been a very bad week in the world of professional wrestling.
So, gentlemen, before we start really digging into this, I would like you to please remove your hats, bow your heads. We'll start with a 10-bell salute in the name of Mr. Larry Sweeney, Mr. Sweet and Sour himself. Thank you. As the independent wrestling world has really reeled from the suicide of Mr. Larry Sweeney. Now, Jason, I heard you were about ready to speak up.
Yeah, I mean, this one kind of hit me hard a little bit. Because a couple of years ago, Larry Sweeney was one of the more top managers in independent wrestling today. As a matter of fact, there was a very long tribute tonight at the Chikara Trios tournament from in Philadelphia, where the entire Chikara roster came out to ringside to open the show. They lowered the lights of the arena and held the 10 bell in honor of Larry Sweeney. A really touching video piece on Sweeney was played on the screen. When it ended, everyone clapped in unison as the wrestlers pounded their hands on the mat for a long time. A sweet and sour chant broke out. It was a long, extended, beautiful moment, and this was from Mike Johnson from PW Insider for credit's sake. But Mr. Sweeney, whose real name I don't know, was really I'm sorry?
His first name was Alex. I found that out today. I have a friend who's actually working security at this show who mentioned that during the planning meetings that one of the wrestlers had gotten rather emotional because apparently Sweeney had come up and the wrestler walked out of the meeting just because he didn't want them to see him.
And because of the fact that he was very mentally troubled, to the point where there was he was so bad off after he left Ring of Honor that he would wrestle anybody in his underwear in the street at I believe it was WrestleMania 25, I believe this was. And this made all the sheets and made him pretty much both, quote, the laughingstock and unfortunately pitied, because he was very bipolar. And unfortunately, this is what happened. You know, I mean, what can you say? What can you say?
I find it almost a strange irony. Tomorrow I will be heading out to International Wrestling Cartel. I'm not booked, but Super Oprah is, and referee Brandon Toll will also be attending. But this was where I actually got to shake hands with Mr. Sweeney and actually get a picture with him. This was back in 2009. So, yeah, shortly before everything went kablooey in his life. Because this was at the very beginning of the year, the same night I had met other independent legends such as Daphne Unger, Delirious, Christopher Daniels. This was my first opportunity to actually shake hands with Ric Flair. This was just an amazing night, and Sweeney was among those. I had the good fortune to actually see him wrestle that night. And for all of his accolades as a great manager, he is also an excellent wrestler. So, gentlemen, if you'll give me a moment, I'm going to bring our Ring of Honor correspondent in to have her say a few words with us. So, Ms. Trista Timpson, welcome from the Great
Hello.
White North.
Thank you. It's snowing tonight. I'm not making that up.
Wow.
I was kidding.
No, it's snowing, and it snowed on WrestleMania, too.
Well,
we're talking about Sweeney.
Yeah, we were just talking about Sweeney, so you are here at a perfect time.
Yeah, it was sad. It wasn't the text message I wanted to wake up to after I had my afternoon nap on Monday. He signed my boob on my shirt, which is funny, back in 2007, I believe, during a UWA and Torimon tournament that happened in Mississauga, Ontario, kind of like a suburb of Toronto.
I've been to Mississauga. Go on.
It's awesome. I love Mississauga. They have the best mall ever. But back to Sweeney. I think my favorite memory of him was when Ring of Honor was in Toronto for the first time in July of 2008, and he had the Sweet and Sour Incorporated group at the time. I believe his member was Go Shiozaki, and he wrestled Eric Stevens to a 15-minute draw, And when the crowd wanted five more minutes, because it was our first Ring of Honor show and, you know, we want to see good matches, Sweeney said that 15 more minutes couldn't happen because, oh, Ghost Yozaki was only paid for 15 minutes. So five more minutes would not be happening because then Yozaki's price would go up. And Ring of Honor didn't want to pay for that. So I thought that was a pretty good manager heel move because the crowd got super pissed off.
I had a fan, another fan interaction with him at a Ring of Honor show. The fact that he was running around outside the ring and Hagedorn was running around outside the ring, it was actually a quiet moment at this Ring of Honor match. I stood up and said, "Sir, I would propose that we work together." He turned around and he said, "Sir, I propose that you sit down and shut up." I am
outside. He was classic.
And but what's really unfortunately the sad part about it is he was 29, if I'm not
mistaken.
I mean, I believe all of us here are older than that. No offense, Trista.
Nope.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm 26. So, but yeah, I can understand.
I'm 27, so I'm not older.
Oh wow, boy. Okay, let me rephrase that then. Okay, I feel like a total doofus then. But even so, I mean, you guys are all in your 20s. And unfortunately, he felt that his life was over.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know.
There's no sadder feeling in the world than that. I mean, he had literally his whole life ahead of him. And to hear of his passing, I have the official announcement, official words, speaking of Ring of Honor, if you want me to read them from their website. Let's see, here it is. Everyone here at Ring of Honor Wrestling would like to express our deepest condolences to the friends and family of Alex Wybrow, a.k.a. Sweeney Sour Larry Sweeney, with the news of his recent death. During his time here in ROH, Larry Sweeney was a highlight of every event he participated in. With his quick wit and phenomenal gift of gab, Sweeney captured the attention of every fan sitting at ringside or watching at home on DVD. And on the rare occasions he competed inside the ROH ring, Sweeney showed just how gifted a competitor he truly was. Alex Wybrow was truly one of a kind, and he will be deeply missed by everyone who was lucky enough to know him. I didn't have the chance to watch a lot of him, but hearing from so many people, you know, who have been in touch with him, including you guys, who have known more of him and seen his work, it seems like this is a guy who really had it all in place, and because he couldn't make the jump, maybe, or was unhappy with what he was doing in life, staying where he was on the independent circuit or what have you, it's just sad. I mean, he didn't even make it to 30, and he had his whole life ahead of him. He could have easily, if he, you know, had been more persistent, gone forward and gone to bigger and brighter things, but not to be. And before I turn it back, to those who are listening tonight, you know, who are big fans of Larry Sweeney, his family is asking in lieu of flowers that donations be made in his memory to Thresholds. That's an organization that assists and inspires people with severe mental illnesses. Let me give the address. It's Thresholds, 4101 North Ravenswood Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60613. That's Thresholds, 4101 North Ravenswood Avenue, Chicago, 60613. So, you know, there you go.
Yep.
Just to talk about how talented he was, like, one more time. The first time Ring of Honor was in Toronto, my friend that came with me, not a wrestling fan, but she's taken me to, like, quite a few shows just because she enjoys the environment. I was talking to her on Monday, and she asked how I was doing, and I said, oh, Larry Sweeney had passed away. And she said, oh, that's the guy with the funny blonde hair that took away that one wrestler at Ring of Honor, which was, of course, Larry Sweeney taking out Goshi Ozaki out of his match. So just for him to, like, have that impact even on, like, a non-wrestling fan, I think that just proved the talent that he had and the impact that he can make on people just from his charisma. And he, like, I don't think she saw him wrestle, but like it wasn't an awesome match or anything. It was more for the strut off that they had. But that's just the impact and he had on non-wrestling fans. And I thought that was funny that she remembered him.
He will be missed. He will most certainly be missed. I'm going to get to the biggest impact of the wrestling business in a moment. I'm going to step in here because this is a news item that hit our internet on Tuesday. And Tuesday or Wednesday completely blew me out of the water, has completely turned the Cincinnati and a good chunk of just the overall Ohio wrestling scene upside down, and has scared and angered a lot of fans, and worse, a lot of wrestlers. An article that appeared on the website for WLWT, News Channel 5, the NBC affiliate out of Cincinnati, Ohio, spoke of the arrest of 29-year-old Andre Davis. He had been charged after he had had sex with another person, knowing that he was HIV positive.
Wow.
Now who is Andre Davis? To the mainstream wrestling world, you guys might have met him. You guys could have met him one day. Andre Davis in the Cincinnati area was HWA's Andre Hart, no relation to the storied Hart family of Canada. Andre worked for Heartland Wrestling, with me at Pro Training Wrestling, Jimmy's outfit. And I also had worked with him at some point at Unstoppable Wrestling Alliance. This was back in 2009, where it was believed he had either just contracted it or may have even just found out about it. What scares worse is that he told no one and kept wrestling.
That's insane. Sorry. It's just nuts.
Wow.
Not right. Not right at all. I mean, you're putting yourself in danger. You're putting the people you work with in danger. Ugh.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. So, my phone rings, and it is our favorite referee giving me a call, asking me about when I worked with Andre, and I told him I hadn't worked with him since 2009. He had pretty much fallen off the scene, mainly because through his works at Jimmy's company, he had been offered a referee deal with the WWE. And this was probably the deal breaker, knowing that anybody anywhere at any time in this business can bleed. A lot of people talk about blading. No, it can happen out of nowhere. I've at UWA, Cody Hawk got his ear ripped pretty badly when somebody accidentally hooked his earring and pulled it out. I can scrape up my elbow falling on exposed wood on a ring that didn't quite have enough padding when I decided to do a apron ball. So, for y'all peace of mind though, I've had blood work done under doctor supervision. I've also donated blood in the last 6 months between the Red Cross and my personal physician. I am clean.
Yay.
Good for you.
But on the off chance that any workers that I know are listening to the show, I'm going off the information that I have been given. Please get yourself tested. If you have worked with Andre, if you have bled, if you have been in the ring when Andre has bled, or you have bled and dealt with Andre, and ladies, I think we already know the answer to that question. So, I don't, you know, it just boggles my mind, but it scares me at the same time. Mm-hmm. The rest of the panel here, none of you guys are, you know, Jason, I know you're a ring announcer, but how likely would it be for you to deal with a wrestler with a lot of blood?
Pretty much zero. In the fact that when I get pushed around, there's no blood involved, okay? And I've never bled in this situation, nor would I get involved, nor would I put myself in a situation where there's bleed. I've never, honestly, in the, I would say, 5 to 6 years that I've done this, I think, I've never seen blood. I mean, I work for an independent promotion called National Wrestling Superstars and Bonafide Wrestling Federation out of Delaware and in New Jersey, and blood is very rare in this business, at least in the federation that I work for. Pretty much non-existent.
Okay. Trista, you've gone to Ring of Honor, and you've seen a few guys end up bleeding, whether, you know, accidentally or on purpose. But you know how well the guys try to keep it off fans.
I got headbutted in the ass by Jay Briscoe because I didn't get out of the way fast enough, and he was covered in blood and it ruined.
Okay, there are exceptions.
Wow. You got headbutted by Jay Briscoe?
Trista, you're awful. Please remove, take the sock out of your mouth.
I don't have anything in my mouth.
You sound like you've put the phone up against the side of your up against your throat and you're trying to talk. We're having trouble hearing you.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
It comes in and out.
This is fine. This is good now.
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't realize that you and Jay Briscoe were that close.
Yeah, it was gross. That's my story, that Ring of Honor and blood.
Let's see. The closest I've gotten, well, no, actually, that's probably the scariest. I've worked Ohio Hatchet and had to deal with an exceptionally bloodied Drake Younger. After he and J.C. Bailey, rest in peace, J.C., went through their 40 panels of glass death match. Now, I didn't touch Drake. Bailey might have come up and hugged me after the show. I don't remember at this point. I was more worried about the fact that we were watching Drake face down on a towel in the dressing area, and we were pouring peroxide on his back.
Ow.
I remember you telling me that story.
Right, and here he is screaming bloody murder, while we're just trying to make sure that yes, he got all these wounds, but these wounds are still going to be clean, mainly because we'd already got the fight with some of the crew that was working with the glass, and they had been cleaning them down with bleach before the show. So, scares like this is just, you know, is one of the, you know, just another thing, another notch on my long list of reasons why I'm glad that I don't do a whole lot in the ring. That I'm very good at shooting my mouth off and running like hell. And I don't have to get in the ring and risk my life like that. But a lot of area wrestlers here have been tested. A lot of them are not happy. A few of them are not happy that somebody has turned this into the dirt sheets, but I'd rather that the word get around.
Exactly. I mean, this has to get around. I mean, if you remember correctly, to put it in a more mainstream sport. Jim, as a sportscaster, you would know the story of Tommy Morrison, the boxer.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was HIV positive and still is, but he was the one who caused the first for the boxing referees to wear gloves. Magic Johnson,
right.
who is HIV positive, caused the basketball referees to wear gloves and still do to this day, if I'm not mistaken.
Some do. Some do, I think, but not all.
So this, the precedent is not there. I would hope that referees would start wearing gloves now in the independent scene. I really would hope so. You know, has to be done, I think. It really does.
It's that kind of a world we live in, and thank goodness we have all the information we do about such things. I'm with you, Jason, definitely. I mean, you take the precaution. If you're a member of talent in a promotion, get yourself tested for the love of God and for the love of the people who you work with, X number of nights a year, sweating, bleeding literally through this, through the business you're in. I completely wholeheartedly agree, and every precaution that can be taken needs to be taken.
To be honest, it's something that is really not going to be enforced further in Ohio. Unfortunately, we have a very lax athletic commission. And any changes to the Athletic Commission actually have to go before the state legislature, which they're so busy trying to figure out their own bloody budget. Hey, doesn't this sound familiar? Then to worry about something like a bunch of guys in brightly colored tights pretending to beat the crap out of each other, which is unfortunate.
And I'm sure you'll find case studies like that throughout the country, sadly.
With the exception of states like Kentucky and Washington State, which are, and I believe New York is extremely strict. So,
yes, very much so.
Tristy, would you know anything? Is there any actual legislation, regulation in Canada that you know about when it comes to wrestling?
No idea. I'm not into that. I'm not into the business that much. I haven't even bothered to look it up, so I got nothing.
No, I was just curious. Carl, can I pick your brain on that about Louisiana? I don't think there'd be that much, though, because I don't know.
So I don't have anything either.
No, that's cool. Just thought I'd ask. But to any workers who might actually be listening, if, you know, one of the things that will not keep you from getting tested is the fact that there are places out there that will test you for free and anonymously. So you can get the information that you need. Like I said, I have the good fortune that I have a very good shoot job that has very good insurance and that I can keep track of stuff like that. So I just don't like, you know, I just don't like scaring people like that, and I know a lot of people don't like being scared like that.
Yeah. Really, for this state, we were more of an MMA kind of state than a wrestling state.
Okay.
MMA
was just legalized in Ontario, so...
Oh...
Yeah, boo.
I'm sorry, Trista, what did you say?
As far as, like, MMA regulations here in Canada, it was just legalized in Ontario in August, mixed martial arts. So
okay.
I'm sure, like, everything there would still be pretty fresh because it just happened last year.
No,
which
okay.
is also kind of a funny story because UFC is having the first Toronto event on April 30th, I believe it is.
Sounds about right, yeah.
And coincidentally, Ring of Honor was running their next show on April 30th, and then UFC announced they were going to be here, and all of a sudden, Ring of Honor is running on May 7th. So,
yeah,
I thought that was funny.
It's the Ring of Honor, but that was probably a very smart move on your part.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
And nosebleed tickets for UFC are $200. So.
I cannot ignore the anonymous Raji Yen, who is probably our most famous listener, who is probably telling me to stop talking about so much sad crap and start shilling. So we will need to pause momentarily for station identification. This is CLW 83.
Let's go with 34.
Ethan believes 34% of people believe the Giants would win over Philadelphia out of those four options. Rob?
Just for posterity's sake, I'm gonna go lower. I'm gonna only say about 29%.
29% with a ding in mid-number. I like that. 29 for Rob. Ah, you're fighting.
Oh, he's in the buzzer tonight.
Go buzz yourself.
I think he's leaning on the damn thing.
No, that's a ding. That's a ding, actually. Stop. The outcome is most likely unlikely to happen in Week 11. Actual percentage you believe it is Giants over Philadelphia is most likely. Only 13%. Hit it. 2-1. Seidelman.
Man.
Ethan needs this one to stick around. Otherwise, he goes off to the land of parting gifts and fine wine and cheeses.
California.
Yeah, Ron Kobach wine and cheeses. That's right, people.
It's Hickory Farms.
I went a trip across the street. There you go.
Or as we did last year for the turkey promotion, it's a wonderful trip to your backyard!
All right!
The BS Big Show Season 3 debut, coming May 11th on the CLWA3 Network.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hello, I'm Chris Palmer of the BS Big Show. You're listening to the CLW 83 Network.
To put it in obnoxious TV sports analyst terms,
it came out flatter than a fucking crate.
And we're back, and I'm going to probably be dedicating the entire second half of the show to a man who unfortunately had to hang up his boots probably 3 to 5 years before he really wanted to. I speak specifically of a young man, I believe, from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Close
a man
enough.
Named Adam Copeland. Well, a young man named Adam Copeland, who we all know better as Edge. Now, Trista, this is your neighborhood.
Not specifically. he grew up in Orangeville, which is kind of in between Barrie, Ontario, and Toronto. So it's kind of in the middle. It's like a smaller suburb of Toronto, but not quite as big as Mississauga. And that's like an hour and a half away from me. More cool. Northern Ontario than southern, for geography people.
We just know you're north of us.
Okay. Edge grew up very close to me.
Lucky.
Oh.
I don't know anything about his hometown, so.
I don't know much about his hometown, but we've all seen the wonderful picture from his high school yearbook where he's listed most likely to win the then-WWF championship. that's a hell of a thing to have in your yearbook. And then the fact that he got his wrestling lessons pretty much gratis, winning an essay contest. Getting in there, having his best friend steal some money out of his college tuition, this is documented, and he and Jay Rezzo, a.k.a. Christian, working their way up to make it into the big leagues in the late 90s. Edge has since then, since at least early 2006, been a huge part of WWE's main event scene. Most of, and 90% of that time, he did it as an obnoxious, snarky, overbearing Canadian heel. And we loved him for it.
Amen. Amen.
Indeed.
In the year 2008 to 2009, he was the best heel in the business. Plain and simple. Okay? He was. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, as far back as early 2003, shortly before he'd actually broken his neck, I think they were ready to push him into the main event scene. I think that's where he was headed. Before fate kind of intervened and took him out of the scene for about, I believe it was, no, it wasn't quite a year, or maybe just over a year. 14 months. He came back at the March 22nd Raw, which was Detroit Draft Day. I was there. Unfortunately, I was not as close to the ring as I would have liked to have been. But I still enjoyed the fact that I got to see, that we got to hear Rob Zombie's music one last time. Don't believe the rerun because they played his old music. To have Edge jump around out there, blow the roof off of Joe Louis Arena, and then spear the ever-loving shit out of Eric Bischoff. Unfortunately, because of that neck injury, and he'd even mentioned he'd been on such on borrowed time, he is suffering from stenosis, which is a narrowing of the spine. This means there's not enough room for fluid to protect his back, meaning his next bump could be his last. Now, Jim, I'll throw this at you. This is an interesting score for WWE's wellness policy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. Quite frankly, let's keep it real. To save the guy's life, or at least has prolonged his life. I mean, as he mentioned in his speech on Monday night, which was completely, obviously as legit can get, he went through the test before WrestleMania, cleared for the tests. They wanted him to get more tests. He got more tests, and boom went the dynamite for his wrestling in-ring career. They saw that, you know, this is getting too murky to continue, and he did the right thing, and he regrettably had to retire. So this is a plus one to the wellness policy for once. After all the crap we give it, this is a positive that came out of the Wellness Instituted policy.
Not the first, though, if you remember correctly.
Right.
A couple years back, MVP's heart, MVP's life was saved through a wellness test,
mm-hmm.
if you remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Nikki is 100% correct. This is a huge score for the wellness policy, and a lot of, if you noticed in a lot of the programs this week, they've mentioned the wellness policy over and over and over again, which I believe is totally and positively non-coincidental. This is exactly what they wanted to do, and they're using it as a publicity stunt for the wellness policy, and I say, great idea for them to do that.
Now, since I don't think, do I have anybody on here who still watches TNA on a regular basis?
No.
Well, I do, because I'm a masochist, but go ahead.
Yes.
Well, actually, Tristan, was that last thing, I shouldn't say I do, but I do.
Oh, no, I don't watch that. I was just laughing because, I don't know, I think asking if people watch TNA is a funny question.
Okay.
Like, it's funny because, like, as wrestling fans, like, I guess we're expected to watch, like, all wrestling, but then with TNA, it's like, I wonder if anyone actually watches this.
I'm just enjoying the irony that the company that doesn't want to even use the word wrestling puts more wrestling on TV, puts twice as much wrestling on TV as the company that wants so bad to be a wrestling company and then spends 75 and 85% of their show talking about it.
What's even funnier than that is that WWE Raw doesn't have that much wrestling on it. You'll get, like, 20 minutes of matches in 2 hours.
You'd be surprised. They almost hit the 40-minute mark this week.
Oh, good for them.
I have my other statistician, not Josh Henniger. I've got another guy, my boy Mike Ferris, who I may someday have on this show. He's got a crazy mind like Josh for numbers and a voice like VRMs. Should I be scared?
Yes. But come on, we love you. Come on in.
Yes.
Okay. So, Jason, since you are the poor soul that actually watches TNA,
yes,
this wellness policy, this deliberate, flag waving for the wellness policy, isn't this a great big take to that at TNA?
Oh, interesting theory. I don't know if it's a big take that at TNA. I don't think they're looking at it that way. I think what they're doing is they're basically, I think it's a big take that to a lot of other sports organizations, hint, hint, baseball, hint, hint, mm-hmm. football, hint, hint, whose wellness policy isn't as, shall we say, as maybe sophisticated as the WWE's at times. And to bring something else up in there, unfortunately, we had another incident this week of Scott Hall being pretty much inebriated and drunk and out of control this week. When Eric Bischoff was bold enough on his Facebook page to say that Vince McMahon has offered Scott Hall help. As we all know, every year, Vince McMahon sends letters to every wrestler, past and present, and offers to pay for their drug rehab if they've been addicted. And he does it, this is a pretty quiet thing, but he does it. So I think this was just more of a pro, hey, we saved Edge's life as a big F you to TNA. I don't see it that way.
Now I'm gonna take a quick run around the table here. Trista, give me your fondest memory of Edge in action, whether it was a promo, a match, an appearance. If you ever had the opportunity or honor to meet him.
Oh, I haven't, and that makes me so mad because I know so many people who aren't even that big of a fan of him that have met him. And I had, like, one friend that's like, oh, my God, I've met him so many times. I'm going to, like, make a room dedicated to all of his autographs that I got from him. And I hate him so much now. But my favorite memory of Edge would be when everyone else was saying that their favorite wrestlers were The Rock and Stone Cold and Mankind. I was saying mine was Edge. And this would be 1998, 1999, so he'd be in the Brood and on within the first hour of the show, which worked out great for me because my bedtime was at 10 o'clock. and it would probably be when they did the Terry Invitational Tournament, and Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys were wrestling on Monday Night Raw, and then it was announced it was going to be a best of five, and I got really excited for it, and I knew they were going to be good matches, and everyone else was like, oh, it's just Edge and Christian, like, no big deal. And I'm like, no, it's going to be awesome. You don't even know. And then they had the ladder match, which to this date is like my second favorite match of all time. And from there on, they were taken more seriously. And then by that WrestleMania, you know, they won the tag titles. And they won the tag titles again the following year. And they just became like a force in tag team wrestling. And then once they split up, Edge and Christian became a force in singles wrestling. So I can always say that I have always been a fan of Edge. And for those who are like, oh, I just hopped on the bandwagon in like 2007, I'm like, get the hell off, because I've been driving this for way too long and I don't deserve to be on it. But like anyone will tell you, Edge has always, always been my favorite wrestler. And I cried on Monday and I cried a little tonight. But it's okay because, you know, not to, I don't know, be absurd about it or anything, but, you know, it's not like the dude died, right? Like, we'll still see him, and this is only better for his health, so not that many tears were shed, but it's better off for him, and I don't know if you heard him say it, but we're going surfing in Nicaragua in a couple of weeks, so that's exciting. And that's my Edge.
Awesome.
I have an Edge Army t-shirt. I want to hear someone say that. And it still fits. I wore it the other day.
I do, but I do not have the reprint. I have the original Edge of Christian positively awesome red t-shirt.
The bright yellow one is 73 on the back. 73 or 74? 73.
The red one with the Charlie's Angels pose is on it.
Oh, that's a good one. He has so many good shirts.
Sorry, I got a story for you. And this is a non-wrestling one, actually. And this was an off-camera story when the WWE had their club in New York called The World. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, anyone remember a lingerie fashion show at The World where Edge was one of the judges? And it was Edge, I believe, Al Snow, and Maven, and your dear Uncle Paul was one of the judges, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I've heard this story. It might have been before, just before, either before I started watching, or I might have missed this segment. Go on.
Okay. So my friend Joe Melillo and I were in the audience as we went to pretty much every WWE event that we could there. And there was this 15-year-old girl who couldn't tell the difference between Edge and Christian. Okay, and she really legitimately thought they were brothers, and she goes to Christian, Edge, I love you, and she goes, no, that's Christian. She goes, Christian, I love you, and you know, and then we point her out, and she goes, Edge, I love you, and then we scream out to Edge, she thought you were Christian. And without it missing a beat, Paul Heyman goes, I'm Jewish. Okay. And Edge just shook his head and said no. But on a wrestling perspective, I will tell you something. And this is a more recent moment. And Nikki, I relayed this to you earlier this week.
Yes.
When Edge was totally in his psycho, you know, I'm bringing the world down with me phase. And he had the match with Undertaker, Hell in a Cell, SummerSlam away.
I was there.
I'm sorry?
I was there.
Yes. When he looked at the cage, he literally was excited to be there. Incredibly excited to be there. He wanted to be in the cage and played it up brilliantly. He was so good at what he did. And whether he was a goofy face, a psycho heel, he made you believe every single moment of it.
That's another thing, too, that made him so good was that when he was a psycho heel, like a lot of the times when, like, you know, when a wrestler is playing like a psycho character, they'll pull at their hair, but Edge is pulling at his beard, and there's just something that's more slightly psychotic than like you know, pulling at your face because of how amped up you are. Like, when you see someone do that, you're like, oh my God, like, what the hell is wrong with that person? But, like, when Edge did it, it was just, like, it's just, like, little things like that that just made him that much better than everyone.
You're slightly unbiased.
Slightly unbiased, yeah, just a little bit of an Edge head. Just, he's the best ever. Slightly unbiased.
Carl. All right, Carl, let's hear an Edge memory from you.
Where do I find one, though? I guess one of my favorite times watching Edge probably would be around the 2000-2001, especially during the tag team wars, and around 2001 when he started getting more into singles, split up with Christian, and of course during the Alliance angle, got a big, big push. And of course, later down the road, he finally had his first world title run. The early matches with Cena were actually not that bad compared to some of the later ones. But yeah, whew.
All right. Jim, how about an Edge memory from you?
When I think of Edge, I think of three letters. TLC. He was the master of the TLC match. And I had to double-check because my memory's a fog anymore. WrestleMania 17, the match with Jeff Hardy. There are certain moments and certain spots when you're a wrestling fan that make you just say, that is theater. That is fucking theater. In the words of George Carlin, God rest his soul. The one where you have Edge on the top of a 15, 16-foot high ladder. Jeff Hardy is dangling, trying to hold on to a belt, and Edge spears him from off the ladder straight down to the canvas, jaw dropped. That's
what
he brought to the table.
Holy shit, yeah.
That's the iconic move, one of the most iconic moves ever in the history of wrestling.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
My,
and
every replay package.
Well, yeah, but for a good reason. He made that match, you know, he took a concept and purloined it and made it his. No one else can come close to Edge when it comes to tables, ladders, and chairs. No one.
So now it's back to me.
So it is.
Well, for moments, I'll tell you what got me hooked on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
2002, I'm a newly minted WWF fan. I didn't see WrestleMania that year, but there was an interesting little feud going on with this seasoned Olympic athlete and this long-haired star.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just absolutely amazed at how Edge was dancing verbal circles around Kurt Angle, starting with the fact that he implemented the "you suck" chant.
Yeah.
That's right.
The fact that Edge loves to do these little ones, likes to do little chants, do stuff like that. The fact that he was the one who made, not only sent Angle off into wonderful fits of rage, but actually managed to coerce thousands of fans to actually wear a t-shirt that says, "You suck."
Yes.
The whole thing that led up to the hair versus hair match that year, I believe, Judgment Day? Was either Backlash or Judgment Day?
I think Judgment Day is correct.
Okay. There was one particular promo where Angle was bragging about the hair match and the fact that he was going to have so much fun seeing Edge bald, and he actually put up a couple of Photoshops. Angle turns away from the camera and says, "We got to put up one more." and they put up a picture of a bald Angle, which, of course, the crowd pops for. He says, you see that? Isn't that horrible? Isn't that the dorkiest thing you've ever seen? Yeah, Kurt, that's really dorky. And he turns around, and he flips out again, starts screaming at Edge. The You Suck logo comes up, and Angle's just totally and utterly flabbergasted. The match itself was a lot of fun. It was probably the first match in ages that we actually got to see if one win on a sleeper. No, wait a minute. He didn't win on the sleeper, but he used the sleeper in the barber chair.
Yeah, the chair was
there. It was just such a... It was a beautiful feud. It was nice. It was wonderfully put together. Good. And it was a very good match. And it just, you know... from there, I will confirm myself as an Edgehead.
The funny thing about that match is that in his book, it was actually discussed that Edge should shave his head, and Kurt Angle was like, absolutely not. Because I think at that time, he was starting to bald, and he was already kind of thinking of it, but the writers were like, no, no, we want Edge, and Angle was like, no, no, no. He was like, I'm shaving my head for this match. Which is good, because I'm pretty sure if Edge shaved his head, I would have stopped being a fan.
Yeah, Angle started getting his receding hairline about 2000 or so.
Somebody had pointed it out to me that Angle was starting to bald, and I thought, oh, really? Okay, at least I know where this is going. Yeah, I didn't want Edge.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if Edge shaved his head? Seriously, imagine it. That beautiful blonde hair just gone. I would have bawled my eyes out.
Edge did me the huge favor, and you know, it's not like it's something I asked, but I got to see him just a couple of weeks ago. They had a SmackDown here in Columbus, where I finally got to see in person the Educator. Edge's submission finish. He used it once in a blue moon. I can count on one hand how many times he's used it up to the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm. I remember using it on Cena one time.
I remember him using it. Mm-hmm. He used it on Eugene before he fell off the map. And he used it this year. He used it at the beginning of the year, but he had also used it on that particular SmackDown. And my boyfriend was laughing at me. Once they're going click, 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 and I'm bouncing up and down, going, finally, finally, freaking finally. Sorry, I thought, you know, he didn't use it because, yes, he started bringing all of his other stuff back. We got to see the Edge-O-Matic. We got to see the downward spiral. We got to see, you know, we always got to see the spear. He even brought back the missile dropkick for a few matches. So, I'm going to make Tristan insanely jealous and let her know that, yes, I have met him a couple of times.
I hate you.
I only have one picture with him.
I don't care.
I know. I almost didn't get it either. I don't know which is the better story, getting the picture with him or when I met him at an autograph session and gave him some artwork.
I'm hanging up either way.
Sorry.
No. Wow.
Kidding. Oh, come on.
Kidding.
Okay. Well, when I finally got my picture with him, was in 2005. This was in Fort Wayne. I had already had an awesome day of getting people. I had finally gotten Shawn Michaels. I had gotten my first picture with Lillian Garcia, with Chris Masters.
Woohoo!
I have an adorable picture with Eugene where he looks like he's trying to hug me. I have a picture where I'm joking around with Mickey James because she had just started on TV. I called her Alexis, and she started laughing. We were getting ready to leave, and Edge just comes sauntering over, looking like he didn't have anything better to do. So we went over, twisted his arm, and got my picture.
There you go.
So, that's going to do it for us. And I'm just going to end the show with thank you, Edge. And I think all of us here at North American Wrestling Connection, thank you. Well, say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Edge. Thank you, Edge.
Spear, spear, spear forever.
Yes.
Good night, folks.
Yep.
And with that, we're in archive.
Because we got a lot more to say, I would think.
No? Yeah, I actually had a piece I was going to say about the whole way the retirement thing was handled. If you want me to still go through with it,
but let me just check with something. Trista, did you want to stick around?
I should probably get going. Actually, this is going to be an expensive phone bill.
we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Always welcome.
Thank you, Chris.
Always welcome.
Quick recap, though. Chris Jericho still on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, he is.
Yay.
For those wondering.
Oh, and by the way, Chris, I got a little something for you. He posted a video tonight basically saying that he's doing this for the WWE Universe, and once this is over, he's coming back to the WWE.
Oh, yeah.
He said it point blank.
He wants to fill in the void of the Canadian blonde that Edge has left to the Raw roster, probably, because Christian's on SmackDown.
And Natalya can only do so much for that, but, you know, yeah, I'm with you.
and trust me, don't think Vince didn't give him a call saying, you're coming back a little early, aren't you?
Please?
I wouldn't be surprised.
So, Trista, once again, thank you so much for showing up tonight.
Amen.
No problem. Peace out, people.
Night, Trista.
Night, Trista. Thank you.
Later.
All right. Dust settled. Jim, I apologize. I didn't want to knock your trip.
It's okay. Calm down. It's okay. No. I think it's great. I'm non-violent. I am like a Buddha looking Gandhi, for God's sakes, okay? Don't worry. It's all good.
Okay. I've got Buddha looking Gandhi going through my head. I'm gonna work on that while you talk.
Okay. This is something I ended up putting after Monday Night Raw and WrestleChat. I think I did it. Wrote this late Monday night, early Tuesday. It's the way it was handled, the official announcement on Raw Monday night. I didn't watch SmackDown tonight, but I know he came out and did the thing again. Obviously, it's a shame that Edge had no choice but to retire. He was working on borrowed time after the surgery that he had a few years ago, and one of the most decorated athletes that he had ever had is heading on to the next chapter of his life, and you can count me among the many that wish him nothing but the best in his life after in-ring competition. But I can't help but thinking two major things. One, WWE really dropped the ball with how this was handled. This would have been best done at the end of the show Monday night, not mid-show. Edge was one of the E's most successful superstars. He deserved this to be his night, and for his exit to be the last thing people saw on Raw tonight. Monday night, I should say. Instead, he played second fiddle to R-Truth, Super Cena, and The Miz. Now, in fairness, maybe he wanted it that way, but he deserved better, if you ask me. And two, no, WWE really dropped the ball with how this was handled. Now, let's think back the last couple of years. Blair, quote-unquote, retired. HBK retired. Cena, quote-unquote, quit, retired, what have you. And then comes the whole Edge thing this past Monday night. Now, I can't speak for the folks here at WrestleChat or the folks here at the NAWC, but ever since Flair's quote-unquote retirement speech the night after WrestleMania 25, I've had to, in the words of George Carlin, be more cynical about such announcements. They all seem heartfelt and what have you. Flair's was, of course, at least so I thought. But then you see Flair shortly after his retirement, quote-unquote, of course, in TNA. You see HBK making return appearances to superkick people. Cena... Well, hell, Stevie Wonder could see that was a freaking work. My point is, those previous moments kind of devalued Edge's speech Monday night. Again, this should have been his night, but instead it really wasn't. Now, I know he hasn't exactly been a choir boy like Super Cena, but the man's talent and the dues he paid in this business are unmeasurable, and quite frankly, in many respects, incomparable. If we didn't go down this road every few months seemingly anymore, real or worked, then it would have meant a hell of a lot more than it ended up doing. I mean, I had so many friends who were saying, is this real, is this a work? Is this real, is this a work? And it took away from what should have been a great moment. Again, it's sad to see Edge go, but I was glad to know and see that he knew when to say adios. May he have as good a quality of life as he can possibly have in the years to come, and believe me, he has certainly earned the right to eat all the ice cream he could ever want. There
now,
you are.
Now, Jim, when I read what you said on Facebook, okay,
right.
I was like, okay, WWE dropped the ball. I happen to agree with a lot of your points because, and I was telling Nikki this on Monday night, there was a part of me that's saying, okay, when is Del Rio coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because as you know, in his in press interviews, he had been talking up retirement a lot.
Okay. He had been, yeah, that's true.
Okay. So when he came out Monday night, I'm like, wow, this doesn't shock me.
And they had hyped it as such throughout the night, too. I mean,
right. And see, that was the only thing that just sort of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, because once the announcement on Raw went on, they went into full publicity mode, full respect mode, full everything, okay?
And when you see the graphic all the time that says career over, you're inclined to believe, okay, they put this up. Usually if it says it on the graphic, you go completely 180. At least that's how I'm trained to think.
Exactly. And, of course, unfortunately, you are correct with Flair mostly. I get Flair and Cena more than Shawn Michaels, because Shawn Michaels hasn't been in a wrestling match, per se.
That's true. And I don't think he will. I truly don't believe he will.
Yeah, exactly. And Edge was probably told by the doctors, and again, Nikki, you and I discussed this. I don't know who he spoke to first, but he was told by the doctors, if you don't stop, you're going to be a cripple.
Quadriplegic, essentially, more or less, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I know what stenosis is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know what it is because I work in a personal injury firm. So I read this. So I know this ain't bullshit. Okay?
Right.
Okay? His neck is fucked. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And the fact that he made it this far and
amazing.
Doing the matches that he did was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And if you've seen, WWE has been very smart and had all the video cameras rolling and put out all those special footage that we've seen in crappy videos on YouTube and put it on high quality on WWE,
mm-hmm.
including Edge's speech, I believe, 2 days before.
Mm-hmm.
Nikki, was it like 2 days before, or did I give it to you last night?
This was a couple of days ago because it included stuff that we didn't get to see on SmackDown tonight, which included the roster coming out, included Triple H coming out and embracing Edge. Some people thought, oh, he's just trying to steal some spotlight. Bullshit.
Not long. No.
Hunter as the next chief high muck-a-muck. This is part of his responsibility. And he knows what Edge has done for this company. I'm going to backtrack a little bit, though, Jim. I'm not necessarily calling bullshit on you about Flair. But Flair getting back into the business is his own damn fault.
Oh, absolutely.
And interesting coincidence, I am actually reading Flair's book right now.
Huh.
And his spending habits apparently go back 30-odd years.
Yeah.
He admits if he was making $5,000, he was spending 10. And he has just forgotten where to stop.
And that's a sad thing. I mean, I understand why he came back. I mean, hey, if he needed the money, yeah. But by the same token, you see all this outpouring, and you see all these wonderful, and they're heartfelt tributes to the man. I mean, for God's sakes, they're, you know, granted, the last few years of his tenure in the ring, not the best, but he worked his ass off. I mean, the guy almost died 40 years ago. He's lucky to be alive to this point. But it still rubs me the wrong way to this day. It just rubs me the wrong way. I can't explain it any further. And probably because of his own undoings personally, not unlike with Hogan and his personal undoings, I lost some respect for Flair, personally.
No, that, and I'm totally behind you on that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's Flair's own damn fault.
Right.
Because he's, you know, first of all, I don't think Vince is going to loan him any money. If he's going to get any money out of Vince,
no.
I wonder if he could actually put spending money as an addiction.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you'd be surprised.
You can, sure.
Sure.
Absolutely. But, no, I mean, did this whole thing with Edge, I mean, now, here's the question. Where does Edge go from here? He's on the European tour right now, you know, saying goodbye. What's next?
I think he's a natural to move over to the table. I think you need him as an announcer.
Oh, God, I'd love that. I think, though, I don't think he's even going to, I don't think he's going to go that far. I think he's going to take a few months off, first of all.
Well, yeah, of course.
He's going to run away from the Fed for about 5 or 6 months. And he's made his money, so, and it sounds like he's kept everything smart. And if not, Ma's right there to look over his shoulder. Sorry,
mm-hmm.
Best part of because of the thank you, Mom chant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, Trish Stratus had a tweet no more than like 23 minutes ago saying, quote, calling Mom to say goodnight after Edge's thank you, Mom chant. Hashtag. Moms rule. T.
They do. That was a touching thing seeing that.
I think where Edge would be an even bigger help to the company. He'd make a hell of a road agent.
That was my next point. Yep.
Right.
Because he knows how to put a match together. I mean, the fact that he's really cut his teeth, and that's not necessarily a pun. In building some of the most chaotic matches between the TLCs and Money in the Bank, building a one-on-one match, shit, he could do that in his sleep. Give him something hard. Give him ten people a handful of ladders. He'll weave you a masterpiece.
Well, the body hit the floor thereafter. Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
I think that, because, yeah, he does have, he has the voice and the personality to be a pretty good guy.
Just go back to all the promos he cut over the years. The man's got the gift of gab, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm. And when he can't think of anything to say, he busts out a kazoo.
Well, there you go. Exactly.
And soda.
Yeah.
And streamers. Sorry,
and Lita comes out from under the table to have a sex scene. Oh, wait, that's not PG. I'm sorry.
Stop that.
All right.
Let's see. I posted it on my Facebook. I went through my photo library from my most recent stuff, most of the photography's from 08, 09. 10, and, even a couple of picks from the SmackDown I attended here in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a tribute video for Edge to Bon Jovi's Complicated, which I think fits his heel persona very well.
Mm-hmm.
I also have, as its framing picture, a spectacular close-up shot that I was able to get of the rated R spinner belt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
The house show I was at, I remember it was myself, Brandon, and Skinny John, and we were able to go up to the guardrail and peek over and take pictures of the belts, because we had a couple of title defenses that night. And he had gone up there and got a couple of pictures of the Rated R belt and kind of nudged me to go up there. Security guard was getting kind of annoyed. I said, look, I'm just going to take one picture, and then I'm going to go back to my seat. And the light caught it beautifully. And to this day, I still say that this belt was testament to one of the biggest missed opportunities with that belt, something that the Fed could make so much money off right now. Do you realize that the way they built that belt, they could have the center plate easy to separate to take that center piece out and have a custom plate for every other champion that held that belt?
Yeah, that would be a seller. People would buy it, absolutely.
I mean, a yin-yang in there for the brief time that Rob Van Dam held it, the Iron Cross with the cross sledgehammers for Hunter. Miz right now could have that evil smiling face on there, although inverting it, at first I thought was kind of stupid, but it's starting to grow on me.
Just imagine if Zack Ryder actually lasted more than 10 seconds, he might have had a woo-woo-woo.
Excuse me. His show is pretty good on YouTube.
It's awesome.
Oh, it's great. It's so
I need to watch it. I've never heard a bad thing about this show. I need to watch it.
You need to. Catch up to 9 episodes. It'll take you about 20 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, give or take, yeah. I mean, Zack Ryder trying to get over a fence. What are you doing, Zack? I'm trying to get over.
And Zack Ryder is going outside, and Cena goes, nice show, man. He goes, I told you Cena would be on my show. He walks,
Between then seeing my boy Scott Stanford rap, it's the greatest show on there, on YouTube. It really is.
Scott Stanford raps. Okay, now I have to watch this show.
That's going to be the open next week, unless something better happens, so be prepared.
But good God. It's just, what a week. What an absolutely crazy week.
And all of this bad news overshadows the 30 seconds of terror of a video that is played on Raw and SmackDown. I don't know if they played on Superstars. Wait a minute, Superstars is done.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
She's coming.
I hope she shows up sooner than later. I want to see her start mangling people.
The bell is first thing.
She takes out the Bellas at the same time. I'm sure there's a few people on the internet that would like to see her decapitate Kelly Kelly like she did that doll. And I would pay WrestleMania money to see her and Beth Phoenix and or Natalia for 20 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. You kidding me? That's the female equivalent to Hogan Andre, as dumb as that sounds. I don't think that's too far-fetched.
No, it's not. It's not.
No. I understand the context you're using there.
Right.
My father was a little disturbed with the, and don't get me wrong, the semi-racial overtones in there a little bit, but you know what? It's a doll. I don't care if it's a black doll, it's a white doll, it's a doll. Okay, I wasn't
black, white, green, blue. Yeah,
it's a doll. My father, you know, older school and all that sort of stuff. But you know what? My friend has worked with Ms. Kong, and she's a very, very nice lady. But she's going to be a very, very badass when she comes in.
Do we know yet if she's going to keep the name Kong or Awesome Kong, or is it going to be another random name generator kind of thing? Do you think?
I haven't heard anything, but a couple people, you know, there's been speculation that they might have her come out as Aja Kong. Queen Kong's a little racist, but it'd be kind of cool. Somebody played Russo Advocate and said that she was going to be introduced as Mark Henry's sister.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, that is racist right there.
Yes.
But,
although, given the age difference, no, I'm going to stop that thought right there.
Please, yes.
Stop that thought right there.
Daddy?
No.
No. Well, actually, that was what I was thinking.
Stopping right there on the tracks.
Yeah, because I'm not allowed to use my other joke with her anymore because I don't make jokes about the dead.
Mm.
I'm no longer allowed to address her as the Bride of Umaga.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Before it was gone, I thought that would be the coolest, craziest, sickest tag team ever.
Right.
Yeah, and get it right for Blackpool. It's Umanga. Get it right next time. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. But you know, I mean, I think Edge is going to be.
Excuse me.
Edge is going to be remembered as a guy who got over. Who got over as a face, got over as a heel, never had a bad match. You know, he's like Shawn Michaels in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
That's a good comparison. Absolutely.
The rockstar good looks, the eccentricities, but most of them character-driven.
Mm-hmm.
A little out of ring controversy, but he actually was able to, work with that. I mean, he turned the whole nonsense with him and Lita and Matt into an angle, actually got Matt his job back.
And even to the point, and I'm sorry, Nikki, where Matt Hardy had nice things to say about him on his retirement.
Yeah. Hmm. The fact that there's 99% of the tweets that are out there have said nice things about Edge. The only exception was Hogan, and even that might be just because it might be context.
Yes.
I read them, and I thought they were a tad ignorant. Some of it might be old school thinking, but Hogan, you had to have something implanted at the base of your spine to make sure you could walk. You of all people shouldn't be telling people when they shouldn't retire.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, who has had how many matches that have had high impact, no pun intended, in the last 10, 12 years?
Zero.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me read you Matt said, by the way.
Yeah,
heard Adam is retiring. These are all Twitters. Heard Adam is retiring because of physical issues that won't allow him to safely continue wrestling. He'll be missed. We've certainly had our fair share of issues, both good and bad. But I tip my hat to Edge, who is one of the greatest I've ever been in the ring with. Adam resides in North Carolina now. Sure, I'll run into him down the road. Glad that him and I are in a good place. We came in as friends and went out that way. Booyah.
Let me beg the question. 1 year from now, WrestleMania, Miami, Florida. Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. If Vince doesn't do... I know where you're going with this. You know. Go ahead, Nick.
I'm calling maybe only because there's one thing that might hold. They might want to wait for, and that's where is WrestleMania 29 going to be held? Toronto's in the running. Sure, we can shoe Edge in right away.
Mm-hmm.
But why not in his hometown?
Exactly. That's the only thing. That's the only way he doesn't get in next year, in my opinion. Exactly. Spot on.
So we'll see. I mean, if they put him in next year in Miami, awesome. I might actually be there. I am looking. Mm-hmm. I am seriously looking into this. I don't. I'm not a big fan of the Miami area, but I have a couple of connections that might be helping me out this time around.
But just wow. You know, but Hall of Fame, definitely. If not this year, next.
Mm-hmm.
I really am thinking 2012 because the fans want it, and it's first ballot Hall. And I think Shawn Michaels started the tradition of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Edge, I think Edge is a must-go. I mean, I know what you're saying. I know what you're, you know. I would love to see it in his hometown, but, you know.
I mean, either way, we know he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, positively. Now, just for shits, anybody besides Christian going to accept him?
No.
Mm-mm.
I didn't think so.
Mm-mm.
There's only a couple other people I can think of that might, but I think Christian's probably the best call. I could say Mysterio just for how much these two have worked together over the last decade. If Rhino or Kurt Angle were in any good graces with WWE by then, either one of them wouldn't have been a bad call either. Just because Rhino was up and down the roads with Edge and Christian, read Edge's book and read about the trip from hell and the
yes.
Ice Lake, where the gift, I think that's where Get the Rhino came from.
Yes.
Which they actually, I found out later, they actually used on TV.
Oh.
This is how Rhino got introduced to the Fed. Team Eck was still together. And Edge and Christian were telling Angle that they had gotten themselves some backup. Edge church Christian says, get to you know what. Christian bounds off. Edge keeps talking to Angle. And Rhino just stomps into the scene. Angle takes about 5 steps back going, what the hell is that? And when I read about Get the Rhino and then I saw this video package, I just cracked because it's fun when that connection comes together. Because I hate to say it. Being a worker, I think half the reason we do some of the stuff that we do when we do it is to amuse ourselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, gentlemen, I hate to do this, but I'm going to be on the road most of tomorrow.
Yes,
and
go to sleep. But, you know,
yes,
thank you. This, we needed the show. Thank you very much.
This was fun. This was a good time.
This was actually one of our best shows ever, and thank you.
I would agree.
Oh, absolutely. So, guys, cross your fingers. I'm going up to International Wrestling Cartel in Franklin, Pennsylvania. Super Oprah's on the card. Brandon's on the card. They're going to put in a word for me. I don't think I'm going to get to work, but I know the rule.
You never know.
Always pack your gear.
Yes.
So I won't be walking in dressed out, but I'm going to have everything with me.
Including your team call singlet. No.
What? No.
good night, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Kidding.
On that,
later.
Later.
Good night, guys.
CLWA3.com is your source for everything CLWA3. You can catch any of our shows on demand anytime at blogtalkradio.com/CLWA3network. Also, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and our feed on iTunes.